It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I don't know if you saw on Friday the video that was posted. I know you were out there at Cincinnati, the Mets fan who was at the Vatican wearing the Mets hat, where the Mets recognized him on their social account.
100% totally saw that.
Yeah, the guy called in and he was from COMAC and the whole deal. He was still out there at Vatican City. It was absolutely incredible. So we did put him in touch with Ethan at the Mets, and you know, maybe they'll have him over there.
Maybe have him throw the first ball out or something. First pitch out.
That would be, well, whatever. Just host him. It was just a very cool moment that I wanted to make sure that you saw from Friday. You know, we had the Celtics jersey moment you didn't like. There was a moment there that I'm sure you would have really liked with the dude from COMAC, which is such a WFAN story, isn't it?
It is. Was he still in Italy when he
was?
It?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And you could hear in the background, there was like the, you know how ambulances sound different in Europe? Like,
yes.
So you heard that in the background. I was like, well, he's still there, aren't you? He goes, yeah, definitely.
Was he specifically out there because of the Pope's election? He was there because of the papal enclave.
Yes. He wanted to get out there at some point in his life, and then when Pope Francis passed away, so this is a good time to experience all of this. Let me go to the conclave and everything else. And he was there and became famous because of a Mets hat. Just like that.
Yeah, I saw the picture and it is so obvious. Like your eyes go right to it.
Well, if you're a Mets fan, for sure, because you know the logo, you know the colors, you know the hat.
Long Island represented in the house.
Damn
the
right.
House. I like it.
Damn right. You know what Saturday was?
Well,
Saturday night.
What was Saturday night?
All right, so you had 3:30, the Knicks, and then, of course, they get killed. But Saturday night, there was another event going on. Very special event. It was happening north of us.
North of us.
Something we have talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks. It finally happened.
Yes. It was the Miss Maine. The Miss Maine pageant.
That is correct.
Featuring Jordan Hudson.
That is correct. Bingo.
And she didn't win.
She didn't win. She actually finished worse than she did last year. She was a runner-up last year. She was third this particular year. So Miss Hancock did not get it done. Jordan Hudson. And, I mean, that's just not a fair picture there. That day. She was smiling most of the time.
Yes.
CBS Sports Network's catching her looking not so happy. Standing
so who won?
There. The woman with the crown on.
Oh, the blonde.
Yes. She ended up winning, but
Miss Cumberland looks very nice.
Well, I think all of them looked wonderful. Yes. Looked absolutely wonderful. So there you go. Miss Maine, USA, but Jordan didn't win. There was certainly some controversy though there, as Bill Belichick did show up and he sat next to Jordan's father, who is, he's 52, but he looks about 38. So good for him. Looks very young, but that's just we talked about this. You told me once we were talking about this whole thing, you said, I mean, this is tough. Imagine, like, you know, 10 years down the road, Sabrina brings home Dick Vermeil. I was like, yeah. When you put it that way, it's tough, tough visual. So I don't know what the guy was thinking, but these still shots of Bill Belichick and him at this pageant, very, very strange.
Yeah, well, you will be... You got to hope that she brings home like a Matt Martin type.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is what I'm looking for one day. But yeah, so then the story comes out. You know, we read it on Friday. Pablo Torre does this whole podcast series saying that Jordan Hudson was banned from the football facility. North Carolina comes out and says that she is not banned from the football facility. She is not an employee of the university. But, yeah, it's just... over and over again. And by the way, June 1st coming up, that whole buyout thing.
Yeah.
The whole buyout thing. So we have how many days here? Today is the 12th.
I mean,
the rest of the month for this thing to blow up in everybody's face.
If I would have told you 2 years ago that in 2025, in May, that Bill Belichick is going to be sitting front row of the Miss Maine contest.
That's right.
In a Holiday Inn up in Portland, Maine.
That's right. Yeah.
You would have looked at me cross-eyed and probably just would have laughed me off the air.
Yeah, I would have said it's like a niece or somebody, right? I mean, if you would have told me it was...
anything.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could have believed it if it was like a family member, but the girlfriend, no. Couldn't believe it. And, by the way, as the head coach of North Carolina,
yeah,
of
that's
all
the other
things,
part of this whole story.
Yeah, that is just... that's insane. But, yeah, the New York Post was up there. The Daily Mail was up there.
Well, I'm sure... I don't understand what Miss Maine's thinking about. I mean, other than, you know, you want the woman who wins to be the actual winner, but, you know, you want some publicity.
Oh, yeah. Should have made her Miss Maine. I mean, it would have been unbelievable. Plus, you know, someone from North Carolina, like one of the big boosters, should have greased the Miss Maine judges to make Jordan Hudson Miss Maine, because as Miss Maine, you've got responsibilities. So she would have to spend more time up in Maine. She'd have to do charity work up there, appearances.
And then she's got to get ready for the Miss USA contest.
Exactly. So if she would have won, she would have been naturally taken away from North Carolina.
Do you think had she won, she would have worn the crown everywhere she went?
Yes, I do. And
well,
the sash.
When you're on when you're on official business for Miss Maine, you would have
to. Yeah, I mean, so that would have been perfect for UNC football if she had won Miss Maine. But unfortunately now, the pageant is over. She came in third. I don't know if she goes back next year. But, yeah, this was the first time that I've seen her dad. But, like, I don't know how many people have asked that. Like, what is her dad thinking? I wonder what her dad thinks. Her dad's sitting there next to Bill Belichick.
Her dad's got to be a huge Patriot fan. It's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit different now. Thinking back at the dynasty when Belichick's now dating your 24-year-old daughter, you know, he couldn't get Brady, Jordan.
You know what's amazing is that.
What about Edelman?
So she's 24, so she was born in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first year that Tom Brady started for Bill Belichick, because that was the year, right? Wasn't that the year that.
2001 was their first championship, yep.
Yeah, and that was the year that Drew Bledsoe got hurt.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's when she was
born. She was a baby, yeah.
Yes.
She was a baby during that whole thing. And her father was in his 20s, father of a newborn, watching it.
Maybe even earlier than that. How old is he?
52.
Oh, he's 52. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's probably, what, 28?
28, right in the thick of
probably
things.
Probably right in the middle of the Patriots' run.
Right. Man, this Bill Belichick.
28 to 48.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. So you're like, he's watched this Bill Belichick's the best thing ever happened to the Patriots. I got this little newborn.
Yeah.
Fast forward 24 years later, they're sitting next to each other at Miss Maine, watching Bill Belichick's girlfriend and his daughter lose, coming third.
That's a shame.
It really is a shame. What a wild situation. But anyway, so the saga continues with those
two.
So
is that you think she's done with beauty pageants?
No.
Absolutely. She hasn't retired from beauty pageants?
I'm sure she'll enter again next year.
How many times can you enter these things?
I'm not sure, but give it another go. She's close. She's second. She's third.
I guess it's all, well, she's not even, where's she living now? She's living in Chapel Hill, not Hancock.
Yeah, but she's from there. She's from Hancock. She did a whole spiel on the lobstermen and fishermen in Maine needing help. And, you know, there's issues up there with their livelihood and everything else. That was her platform in which she spoke about, because her family's been in that business. So she wants to get that word out there. She'll go back there and do it again next year. I mean, think about it. You finish second, then you finish third. You're going to come back with a vengeance the next year.
Yeah, I don't know about
2026
that.
2026 is her year.
I think it's a little rough.
What, losing twice in a row and then going back?
Yeah.
What would Bill tell her? Be like, listen, man, I was the head coach of the Browns there at first, and I was with the Jets for a couple of minutes. Then I went up. It was my third chance at being a head coach, even though I didn't really coach the Jets, but it was really that third team. This is your third year.
You know what?
Build that dynasty.
That's a very good point. I didn't think of it in that realm.
Can't give up. I mean, he's telling her, can't give up. I mean, think about Bill, like, driving back, or probably flying back in a private jet back to Chapel Hill, and she's just tearing all the other contestants apart. I cannot believe Alicia won again. I mean, did you see her dance? It was terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, you did a good job.
I mean, and her attitude just sucks. Like, it's just unbelievable. Like,
on to what? What are they on to now?
Oh, I'm not sure, man. I don't know. I don't know what's next in their lives, but I can't wait to see. I'll tell you that much. I am locked in. Absolutely locked in. Alexi and Teaneck wants to talk some Knicks with us this morning. What's going on, Alexi?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I'm with you, Boomer. NBA is very hard to watch. Yep. I've been watching since Knicks beat Chamberlain at Baylor and the logo, and it stinks now. How does 3-point shot only the last 5 minutes of a half? Let's talk.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to change. They're never going to change it. And the reason they're never going to change it is because Steph Curry made it so popular, and you know, so many guys are so good at it. I mean, you see these rainbow shots that Jason Tatum's throwing up. I mean, they're beautiful when they go in. They don't even touch the rim.
But remember when Gus Williams and all those guys had unbelievable, well, you know, games.
Yeah.
Outside, inside. Gorgeous. Pick and roll.
Yeah. All that. No, I loved Alexei Georgemichin. Big fan of George
Mikan. Yeah, you know what? If you watch, I watched this Pacer game yesterday, and they pass the ball. They pass it around, but it's usually around the three-point arc.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks had one of those games where they were sharing the ball. The offense looked like it had a plan. They were passing, and that was game three against the Pistons, and they've never looked like that since.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they're up 2-1. I mean, I don't want to get overwrought with negativity today. They just had a bad shooting day, just like the Celtics had in game one and two. So you got to come back, and you got to do exactly what the Pacers did to the Cavaliers. And the Cavaliers were totally healthy, and Donovan Mitchell goes out, so I think they're... The ultimate leader on that team goes down. Now, all of a sudden, you got a problem. The team is basically leaderless on the court, and they're going to get housed. And they got ran right out of the Pacers building. And I'm not saying that, you know, the Knicks can do that to the Celtics, but I think somehow, some way, in the first half, they got to keep this game, you know, within reason. I mean, somewhere around 5 or 4 points. How about having a lead at halftime?
Yeah. How about we go to Coat Steakhouse and then go over to the Knicks game tonight? What do you think? I was just looking at the menu here.
Yeah.
I got the USDA.
Good luck getting a seat.
I mean, come on. I saw you walk into a restaurant. It was a weekend night. We had just come from our Christmas party. It was a very high-end, popular restaurant, Italian restaurant. And you walked in and you pointed at the back and you said, "We're taking that table." And the woman said, "Excuse me, sir. Do you have the reservation?" And you went, "F no." And she goes, "Oh, that's all right, sir. You never have a reservation."
That's right. Never have a reservation.
And then we sat there and enjoyed one of the great meals that I've had.
Yes.
So you're telling me we couldn't get into the steakhouse? I think we could.
I'm not going to the Knick game.
Steak Oma.
The game starts at 7:30 tonight.
We got to watch it anyway. I mean, who are you?
I was up till 2:30 in the morning watching the Winnipeg Jets.
Yes.
I mean, you tell me now you can't go to the Knicks game because it starts at 7:30?
For the most part, both the NBA and NHL playoffs have been uber competitive, and I love that. I love that. And neither one is disappointed other than the fact that the NBA can rely on a three-point shot way too much and Hakimic. Mm. I mean, that's smart basketball, but it's not fun basketball because any sort of, like, momentum that the Knicks get, all right, let's Hakimic and let's... Let's all stand there, and we're all like in a psych evaluation with them. Everybody's talking about it, from the people like, you know, in the garden are talking about it. The people on TV are talking about it. You know, you're talking to whoever you're talking to. I'm talking about it. I mean, everybody's just talking about the poor free throw shooting.
He's
got to
be
psychological.
Feel like he's paralyzed up there. Yeah,
I mean,
he grabs his head. It's just, I mean, listen, I've been there. It sucks. Like when you feel like you've got some sort of yips, you can't do something, it is the worst. And that is just in my own little bubble when I'm out with my friends. I can't imagine. National TV, all the people in the arena. Like you said, everybody's talking about it, going up there shooting an air ball. God.
What do you think Leon Rose is thinking right now? I know he's a plus as a player, so he's doing something right. But this is, whatever this is, however you want to say what this is. I mean, like in game two, Tibbs was able to sub him out.
Mm-hmm.
Like just because of the way the game was out, you know, was playing out. And he was able to get him in and get him out. Put him on defense and then get him out on offense. He was able to do that. But, you know, in game one and game three, he was unable to do that. But game three was so far out of reach because of the disaster that was the first quarter.
Steak Omakase. It's $2.25 a person. You get to sample all of their steaks. They do a wine pairing for an additional $120 per person.
Okay.
So I think that's probably the way to go. A little pricey, but hey, you get to eat all their meat and have all the wine. So we'll do that. What do you think? 5 o'clock?
You know, we love meat.
We do love meat. This is why I'm thinking, like, you got me talking about this. It's your fault.
That would be more expensive than the Knick tickets.
Yeah, be close. It would be, although I guess Evan was talking about bringing people to the game, and a couple of people this weekend were like, "Oh yeah, Evan said that you were the second choice to go to the Knicks game." I was like, "What? What are you talking about? So he should sell the tickets. What is he, nuts? You buy those tickets to be able to sell them if you're not a Knicks fan.
Yes.
In situations like this. You're actually going to go to the game? You're going to take, like, Big Zoo to the game? But which would be great for Big Zoo, but, I mean, my God, sell the tickets.
Beautiful thing about Evan is that he is a genuine sports fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no
he's
doubt.
He's genuine when he says things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not lying. He's not making things up.
No.
But as far as the financial concerns and for his son and for his family and for the future, you know, college costs, whatever they may be.
Sell the tickets.
Sell the tickets.
That's right. Or if, you know, you could sell the ticket and then me and him could go, if he wants to hang out with me, to Coat and get the omakase on Roberts.
Oh, yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Jerry, get that ass-eating grin off your face. Give me that jersey. Just give it to me. Stop being such a child.
For our radio listeners, Jerry Recco is dancing around playing keep away with the Porzingis jerseys.
It's on your chair.
All right.
And now he's...
It's going in the freezer tonight.
Put whatever you want him to do.
Some bitch is going in the freezer.
Listen, I said on Friday we shouldn't do anything. Because yeah, you're up two games to none. There was no reason to do anything.
Yeah, but you came in here and wore it.
Well, I was prompted to wear it.
Okay. By who?
Well, your partner.
Oh.
Like I said, you know, Jerry at first was adamant about not wearing it. It has arrived, though.
What are you going to do with it now?
Before game three. So this is, we got to figure this out.
But dude, you're not doing anything with it.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, so, at this point, leave it as it is.
Right.
But then he kept needling me.
Needling.
He was needling me.
Needling.
I wore a leprechaun costume.
Yes, you did.
And rooted so hard against the Brooklyn Nets to lose to the Boston Celtics. And I got crap from other Knicks fans around here, including Anthony Gallo. How could you do that? I was like, well,
for sure.
So, Jerry, as you sit in Boomer's chair today.
I don't put that on.
No?
No.
See? Adamant. Adamant about not wearing it.
I wasn't going to do it. But he wouldn't stop.
There are certain jerseys I am not putting on. But this is why I thought you might say yes. No. Just listen to this side of it. I hear that you're not going to do it, but this is why I thought you might say yes. It's because Boomer has been busting your balls about the Nets so hard. And if he woke up in Cincinnati and put on CBS Sports Network and saw you sitting in his chair doing the show.
Oh, give me the jersey.
I explained that pretty well.
You are
relentless.
Yes, you did. And then I had fun with it.
Boomer will get pissed. He will be pissed.
In his chair. As I mush my butt cheeks on his chair. Let's go Celtics. There you go. So that did happen Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kristaps was a little bit better this game, but still, there's something wrong with him. He ain't right.
He was not right.
I feel bad about putting a guy's jersey who's not right into the freezer.
What? Now you're feeling bad about it?
Well, I mean, he's not. He's obviously. I don't want him to be something significantly wrong with him.
Yeah,
a twisted ankle here or there.
How many times has this worked with the Rangers?
It worked a bunch.
Okay.
Counting those Stanley Cups.
Well, like particular series or
something? Yeah, but others, it worked.
You know, it didn't work in the biggest of series.
Took out Pittsburgh, took out Carolina, took out...
But ultimately a failure.
Correct.
All right. Okay, guys. It works more often than not. Let's put it that way.
You got zero championships.
Wow.
No retort?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, man, just worry about your slag nut nets.
So are you going to put the jersey in the freezer or not?
100%.
All right. But you said you feel bad about it.
Well, that just flipped.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I just want you to know that I'm not, you know, I do feel bad about it because I don't want Kristaps to be anything other than, you know, maybe get through the virus like next week.
Well, he's had this thing since March, so I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
I'm not rooting for that to get worse. I'm just rooting for him not to have an impact.
I got it.
On
I understand. I say you don't want him to be sick. Nobody's rooting for him to be sick. You just don't want him to have an impact on the game. All right. Yeah, I think that's clear.
Right? I don't think a couple turnovers, you know, a couple bad fouls, that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
The Knicks did lose that game on Saturday.
Actually, I wish I would have had the Pritchard jersey. That's the jersey you really need.
You know, who's questionable tonight? Sam Hauser.
Again?
He's been upgraded to questionable now.
Yeah, but you see how deep their bench is.
Very deep bench.
Deep bench.
And that's number 50 for Sam Hauser. An all-time game at Madison Square Garden.
We shall see you at game four tonight. I will tell you, after the loss on, so we had the new Pope. It's a young Pope, as we heard.
Yes, they went for a younger Pope.
We were curious if there would be Knick fans in Pope outfits.
Mm.
And this guy was. We call him the Knicks Pope. His message after the game three loss.
Listen, man, we outside. We couldn't get that dub. Now we gotta make these shots.
We gotta let them shoot that shot out. Now we gotta come back.
Hopefully we get them in five, man.
Knicks in six.
Six, baby, six.
There you go. So the Knicks Pope says Knicks in six.
Okay.
So we shall see. Pacers and Cavaliers, that is a 3-1 series lead for Indiana. Obi Toppin, the former Knick, getting into the action.
McConnell deals it under the hoop, and Toppin scores. As he's wrapped up, he's on the line with a chance for a three-point play.
They remind you of Ed Coleman. Toppin scores.
Toppin scores.
It's amazing. Ex-Knicks and ex-Rangers all over the playoffs.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
It's true.
And current Knicks, as they are in their series. 129-109 in a game that wasn't that close. Indiana led by 41 at halftime. They take a 3-1 lead. And worse for Cleveland and Kenny Atkinson, Donovan Mitchell left with an injury.
Left ankle. Left ankle injury. He'll get an MRI tomorrow.
That's now today. We shall see what his status is. Didn't play the second half yesterday. Toppin, by the way, did have 20 points in that game for Indiana. Meantime, the Thunder beat the Nuggets 92-87. They outscored Denver 29-18 in the fourth quarter. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 25. Here was Nikola Jokic. What happened?
We didn't do enough like we did the first game. Maybe helping CB or whoever, or Russ or whoever's on the ball, just to give him a little bit of extra attention, let's say, like that. And make him think about a little bit more. But Shai's an amazing player.
Yes, he is an amazing player. And so that series is even at 2-2, now a best of three. The baseball story from Sunday. Mets, Cubs, the rubber game after the two teams split Friday and Saturday, and all good on New York side.
The 1-2 to Nimmo, lined in the air to right field. That's deep. Tucker back onto the track at the wall. Reaches up, can't get it. It's gone. A home run. Brandon Nimmo with a home run, his eighth of the year, scores a Zokar in front of him, and the Mets have come up with four runs here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Yeah, snapped a 2-2 tie. It was Francisco Lindor that got it going with a solo homer to put them up 3-2. They wound up winning.
And up accountability.
They wound up winning 6-2. Mark Vientos singled, homered, and drove in two. Here was Lindor taking 2 of 3. Good God, man.
Whenever you can win a series, it's good. You know, it don't matter who's on the other side. Like, we have Pittsburgh coming in, and we still got to play them like they're the best team in the league. You know, because at the end of the day, you can't underestimate any opponent that's on the other side, the big league players.
Now, I mentioned
Mike might have picked that one up.
Dink.
The mic might have picked that one up. That was
heard it
through your headphones. So yeah.
So I said Vientos with the home run and had a nice offensive game. The night before, Brett Beatty hit two home runs. Here was Carlos Mendoza needing to find ABs for those two.
Oh, we'll find room. Yeah, and that's, I've been saying it. There's 13 guys there that it doesn't matter who the nine that you put there, you feel good about your chances. And that's my job, that's our job, to continue to put these guys in good position.
And so
the biggest problem that they've had is that they can't score when runners are in scoring
position. That's
true. Position. That's the number one thing. Pitching's been great for the most part. A number of these guys are starting to come alive a little bit more now. Greg Beatty's coming alive. Vientos is coming alive. Soto's had a really good start to May. As Brandon Tierney pointed out, by the way.
Rough weekend, though.
Yeah, rough weekend, but he'll be all right. I mean, but, you have other guys coming through. That's the key part, and you just got to keep winning series, as we always say.
All true. I think he was good Friday, but Saturday was 0 for 5, and yesterday not so good. But, yes, other guys stepped up and had a big day, and the Mets win. They'll be home for Pittsburgh tonight. David Peterson, the start on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio at 710 PM. Yankees beat the A's 12-2, and it brings us to our Thrivewell Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion, and his name is Ben Rice.
3-1. Rice drives it. Deep right field. Way back and goodbye. A grand slam for Ben Rice. Blows it open. Yankees having fun in Sacramento. They got a 10-1 lead. What a shot by Ben Rice.
Yep, and that is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. That was Emmanuel Barry with the call.
Still waiting for that facial.
Oh, man, that was on the fan. 12-2, the final. Aaron Judge, 4-for-5 with the two-run single, gets the average to 409. A lot of Yankee fans in Sacramento, and Judge took notice.
A lot of Yankee fans, they travel. It doesn't matter where we play. They'll show up. No, it was great playing here. It's been years since I played here. Like you said, it park felt a lot bigger back then, so it was just cool to see it packed out. A lot of support from my hometown, and happy to come away with a series win.
And he really put on a show. A couple of home runs on Saturday, does that yesterday, and the Yankees get to 23-17. Should mention Paul Goldschmidt, 3-for-5 with a pair of RBI doubles, 3 doubles on the day. The Yankees will be in Seattle tonight. That is on the fan at 9 p.m. How about a feel-good story from baseball?
Well, everybody likes a feel-good story.
So I take you to Detroit Rangers and Tigers in the fourth inning. Rangers TV finds Mary Young, the mom of Josh and Jace Young, who are playing against one another in this game.
I mean, I couldn't ask for a better Mother's Day gift to watch them. We're all in the same place to begin with, but then to watch them live their dream, do what they love to do, I couldn't be more proud.
On Mother's Day, how awesome is that? Then in the fifth inning with Josh Young up at bat.
And there goes Carter, and a swing, and that's a drive left field. Green looking up, it is gone! A Young two-run blast. The Rangers stretch it out. It is 5-0.
And they would win the game 6-1. And who loves a good feel-good story more than Al Dukes? Al Dukes loves a good feel-good story.
Yeah, something was going on with this.
He was really taken by this.
So Josh Jung hit a home run off his brother, Jace Jung.
No. No, Jace doesn't pitch. He was on the other team.
Oh. Well, this is no big deal then.
Well, no, it's not.
How did I read that wrong?
So the feel-good story turns into a pissed-off Al Dukes. The headline was a little bit misleading.
Oh, shocker.
That's what I think.
Here it is, Jerry. Here's the headline.
I know.
From the losers at ESPN. Rangers Josh Jung hits home run for mom while facing brother Jace.
Very misleading.
It is very misleading.
I'm with him on this one. That one made it seem like he hit the homer off his brother. His brother was the third baseman. That was not the case. And did you see Jacob DeGrom lose it on the umpire on Saturday?
Yeah, I did see it's the angriest he's ever been on the mound, for sure.
Rightfully so, missed two in a row. Anyhow, so that was the baseball story. At Giants camp, we talked last hour about Jackson Dart wanting the reporters to tell him who they are before they ask questions. We also had referenced Abdul Carter and the number 51. So here was Carter with the media in terms of getting that and taking 51.
I feel good. I feel like it's going to have to grow on me a little bit, but it's feeling good right now.
How'd you settle on 51?
Pretty much what we had available, so it was a good number.
It's a good number. Now, whether it's the 5 and the 1 from LT and Phil Sims, who knows, but that is his number.
That's they also got a whole controversy out in Cleveland now because Shedeur Sanders couldn't get his legendary number 2 number.
Well, I thought he took 12. I didn't think there was an issue.
He took 12, but he wanted to, but since he was drafted in the fifth round, he didn't want to spend the money to some nondescript wide receiver that Cleveland has who has number 2.
Who is it? Do you know?
I forget his name, but he'll probably get cut.
Oh,
and
the receiver?
He'll probably get number 2, assuming that Shedeur makes the team.
When do they have, that's what, by week 1 they have to make final decision?
Yeah, because that's when all the numbers kind of come free after all the cuts and everything else, and some guys may want to change their numbers.
Understood. So you've got that. We'll have more audio from the Giants going through the course of the morning.
And by the way, Dion, Shador's agent supposedly was very angry that Cleveland didn't give him the number 2.
Okay.
DeAndre Carter is the name of the wide receiver in Cleveland.
Yeah.
They're wearing number 2 right now.
Mm. Stars beat the Jets 5-2, take a 2-1 series lead there. Panthers shut out the Maple Leafs 2-0. I got to get that call of the Oilers game from the other night, too. I know they scored with less than a second to go. I'll see if I can find that for next hour.
Vegas scored.
No, but that was the Edmonton game, I'm saying. What did I say, the Oilers goal?
Yes.
Right. Well,
Riley Smith, who was with the Rangers this year, ended up scoring the game-winning goal with 0.3 seconds on the clock.
Next hour, I'll see if I can find that for you. Panthers shut out the Maple Leafs 2-0 to even up the series 2-2, and in golf, Seb Straka won the Truist Championship.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yes, this is all about the Knicks for us this week, but it is schedule release week. As today, you're getting some drips and drabs. Tomorrow, more. Wednesday, more. And then Wednesday night, you're going to get all of it. But this morning, we have got our season opener game. Thursday, September 4th. First game of the year is going to be the Dallas Cowboys going to Philadelphia. So just announced by the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champion team, always hosts the first game of the season on that Thursday night. They welcome in division rival, the Dallas Cowboys, with a healthy Dak Prescott and brand new George Pickens.
Wow.
The Cowboys.
It's a great opening night for NBC, for sure. And it's basically taking your most popular team, the Dallas Cowboys, and throwing them out there week one on national television. That will be a huge ratings winner for them.
Thursday, September 4th.
So the question is, Friday, September 5th, who's playing in Brazil?
We don't know that yet. We don't know. Well, do we do? That was released already.
Well, I think they said, it's definitely Chargers, and they said Chiefs. I don't think that's confirmed 100%, but that seems to be what everyone thinks.
Okay, Chargers and the Chiefs, and we'll get the rest of it. But, yes, this is how they do it now. Little leak there, little leak here, and then all of a sudden you get the schedule finally. All right, I want to play something for you.
Okay.
This is from draft night. And this is right before the Giants traded up to get Jackson Dart. Now, I'm going to provide this to you with no context.
Okay.
I know you haven't heard it yet because I asked you in the break. And you tell me what this sounds like as Joe Shane is looking at Brian Daboll and telling him these things.
Information if you can, but Pittsburgh's the quarterback needy team, but they're looking to move back too. So like, nobody's going to remember a third round pick if you're right. So you guys are convicted in him. You believe in him. We did the process. He checked all the boxes. So, roll the dice.
Okay. So that's right before they traded up.
Okay.
And so did you hear anything in there that's interesting to you at all?
Sounded like to me that Joe Shane was looking at Brian Daboll. Was he looking at
Brian
Daboll?
Yeah, he was looking at Brian Daboll.
He was talking to Brian Daboll. Okay. Sounds like to me that he was saying, so you like this kid. This is your kid. You want to draft a quarterback. This is the quarterback you want to draft. If you believe in him, let's go get him.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I heard too. I just didn't want me to say that and everybody go, oh, you're hating on the Giants again.
No, but what I like about it, this is what I like about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes GMs are very rigid. Mm-hmm. And they don't, like, you know, most GMs and head coaches should be collaborating. You should be talking, like Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji should be talking to each other, and they should be trying to fill out a roster the way that they want to fill it out together. Don't jam a player down a particular coach's throat just because you think he's a better player than what you have at that position. I think they were very happy to get Abdul Carter, and I think that Brian Daboll seemed to be really happy to get Jackson Dart.
Yeah, he was thrilled, and I just think...
So maybe Joe Shane's not as into Jackson Dart as Brian Daboll is.
But Brian Dable's the guy who's got to coach him.
And Brian Daboll hasn't really been able to draft his own quarterback. So
that's right.
Finally, after 3 years, he gets a chance, and unfortunately for them, you know, maybe it was a little bit slim pickings if you look at it compared to last year and their quarterback draft class. But, you know, it seems to me like Shane and Daboll really do have a good relationship, which is really paramount to success in this league. The question really becomes now is how competitive will the Giants be this coming season? And will there be signs of growth for this football team? Or is it going to be a total unmitigated disaster because of their schedule? And if it is, how patient will the fan base be with John Mara and keeping this group together?
Well, and also think, too, I mean, Jackson Dart's going to be learning this offense. There's a lot to learn from what he was doing in college to the NFL, and then you're going to change that on him after the first year. We've seen that's not a recipe for success when it comes to young quarterbacks. But, yeah, I would have expected Joe Shane to say, well, nobody cares about a third-round pick if we're right, not if you're right. No one cares about a third-round pick if you're right.
Yeah.
And you guys, if you guys are convicted on them. So, yeah, there's a good part of that. There's no doubt about it that the general manager is not stomping his foot and saying, I don't agree with you. He's taking what the coaches said and been taken into account and traded up and being aggressive. But there's no doubt that if Brian Daboll wasn't pushing that narrative, I don't feel like Joe Shane would have traded up.
I kind of think like the fan base has been pushing the narrative that they need a quarterback, And, you know, you just got to keep firing pucks on net, as they say.
Yeah.
And the more shots on net, the better there is that you're going to land somebody that turns out to be really good. And, you know, so far, I mean, for all the initial indications of Jackson Dart, seems like he's a good kid, seems like he can play, looks like he's got a really good arm. He's obviously a big kid and seems like a kid that's not going to be courting controversy anytime soon.
No, I don't believe so. And yeah, it is going to be, we'll find out the full schedule. If you look at the opponents, it's very difficult for the Giants on paper. You don't know what's going to happen with injuries. But yeah, I mean, they are, you know, with the Cowboys getting a little bit better, getting healthier this year. We'll see what Brian Schottenheimer is as a head coach. But I mean, if you're evaluating the division, most people are still putting the Giants last.
I mean, rightfully so. I mean, let's face it, you got young quarterbacks and you have quarterbacks in their prime on the other teams. And, you know, Russell Wilson's toward the end of his career, you know, he'll be a solid starter for them. He's not going to be going to the Pro Bowl. He's not going to be getting any MVP votes. But, you know, he should be able to, you know, manage his team to a few early wins, you would think. You know, the other thing, too, is that there was a report on, I want to say, Microsoft Network, maybe? MSN, is that right?
Okay. I don't know.
So I was reading an article. I'm thinking that it came out of either Sports Illustrated or the Sporting News in regards to the Shedeur Sanders Giants interview process.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how negative that has now been pointed out, how negative that was, where the Giants try to trip you up as a player. They give you plays and there are things missing and they want to see whether or not you could recognize us as a quarterback. And by the way, all 32 teams have a way of going about interviewing players, and it's how they do it to hopefully give them a better perspective of the prospect that they're drafting. And supposedly Shedeur Sanders, you know, just failed that whole thing miserably, and it got a little bit tense and all this emotion, and at least this is what was written by somebody who had spoken to the Giants or within Shedeur Sanders' camp. And now there's this story out there that the Sanders camp is basically threatening legal action if that video ever comes out.
I mean, this guy at this point is a fifth-round pick on the Browns. Like, the attention that he is getting is amazing. Still,
yeah. How about if you were Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, I mean, it might be a good thing for him. Honestly, it might be a good thing that everybody's paying attention to Shedeur Sanders, and he can quietly go about his business. Who knows?
Well, you know, Shador's going to find out, and this is where, you know, he's got to be able to handle the adversity of actually trying to compete for something, because he hasn't had to compete for the job in the last, you know, two places he's been, or three places if you go back to high school.
That's right.